And anyway, if everything had been smooth sailing for me, I don't know what my life would have been, but it wasn't. And after I did that first book, that maybe would have answered all my questions, I would repeatedly fall into that sense of ennui again and again. And probably the good news about that is that I have continued to turn to writing again and again over all these 29 years. So this last book was the 17th book. Now, if I were this healthy woman, do you think I would have needed to write 70 books? I don't think so. But it has become who I am. It has become the thing that fills me up. You know, people have said to me, well, isn't writing a chore? And it's like, no, it's my lifeline. It's my lifeline to God. You know, there are like three or four things in my life that absolutely make my life so rich. It's going to meetings and talking to people. It's having sponsees in my life and having that constant interaction, because I believe my program is only as good as the interaction I have with other people. And it's about spending time, for me at this point, spending time at my computer and listening to that message from God. It lets me know right here and right now who I am and what it's about. You know, when I got into recovery early on, I knew that there were all kinds of relationship things that needed to change with my family. You know, in my first marriage, I moved to Minneapolis. In my first marriage, we were married for 12 years. 12 years in which we did nothing but try to hurt each other. And we didn't know any better. You know, we both needed the kind of help that I have received, and hopefully he has too. And but we were doing the best we could, and all we knew how to do was injure each other. And it's miraculous that we stayed married, I think, for 12 years. But it's when I say it's miraculous, knowing me, if you knew me then, I was too terrified of rejection, that there was no way I could leave, and ultimately he left, which really is what brought me finally then to AA, because when he left, I absolutely dove into the bottle. I was so mortified that we had lived all these years in the way we had lived, and that he would dare to leave me, and it was like, oh my God. So, but anyway, I knew that I had a lot of fence mending to do. And so I took a class in Family of Origin from Terry Williams. And Terry Williams used to run the family program here. And he said, you know, you need to go back and see members of your family. You need to find out who they are. And you need to listen so that you'll know who you are, so that you'll understand really where you came from, where you are now, and maybe where you need to go. And I'm not sure he put it in those words, but that's what it meant to me. And so I went back and I started talking. I called my folks and said, here's what I want to do. And I had been pretty estranged from them for a lot of years, much to their relief. You know, and they never quit loving me, but it was easier to love me from a distance. So while I was in Minneapolis and there in Lafayette, Indiana, and that worked out a lot better than when I went back to Lafayette, Indiana to have holidays with them, because they weren't particularly pretty pictures. And they didn't understand recovery. They didn't understand what this was about. I think they did say to me, well, is this why you were always so crazy? Actually, they said more than that. I mean, we didn't share a lot of the same values, so they would say, well, and I hope that this doesn't offend anybody here, but they said, oh, this must be why you decided to be a Democrat. They thought my alcoholism is what made me turn against their political perspective. So, God. Anyway, I called him and said, I want to come back and talk to you about your lives. And, you know, you could just kind of hear this, like, oh, what does that mean? So I went back, and I had been told probably in the first few months of my recovery that my mother had perhaps abandoned me in the womb, and that